ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्टर्स बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We just completed the third anuvaka of the second chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad called Brahmanandavalli. What is this third anuvaka? It is called Manomaya Kosha. Kosha means covering, and every kosha covers up our true nature as it were. And we have seen this Manomaya Kosha, the covering, the sheath, which is only the mind. And what is the mind? Mind is that which has vrittis, thoughts, good thoughts, evil thoughts, happy thoughts, unhappy thoughts, everything. So, our mind is the very important part of our covering. And if the covering can be used, and every covering can be used slowly to progress towards God, that is a point we have to understand very, very clearly. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, Maya can be divided into two sides, avidya maya and vidya maya. What is the role of avidya maya? It is not to bind us, because maya is our mother, and a mother can never bind. She will only want the welfare, the goodness, the happiness of the children. So divine mother also cannot do that. She wants our welfare. She wants all of us, her children, to come running to her. A little bit of play, that's okay. But after the play, we have to rush, not get completely absorbed, involved in this play. And if we do not heed, then the mother will create some obstacle, some event, which will make us undergo suffering. The purpose of suffering is not to make us suffer, but to awaken us. Just as we go, if a person doesn't wake up with a call, then we go on putting pressure on his body. Wake up, wake up. We can shake, we can give a blow. Then only the person is likely to get up. So every misery is a tremendous grace of God, gift of God. That's what Holy Mother had said. So, coming back, this third kosha, Manomaya kosha, we covered already Annamaya kosha, which is our obsession with this body, physical body, and its adherents, external world, possessions, bank balance, houses, friends, relatives, etc. And higher than that, subtler than that, more pervading than that, is the pranamaya kosha. So logically arranged, if prana departs, physical body will not be there. And the prana can be kept alive only by our thoughts. Plenty of examples I had given earlier, that if a person is cherishing a happy thought, creative thought, the person, he will get rid of all tiredness, jump up. But if the same person is oppressed by negative thoughts, depressive thoughts, then his prana, that means his energy, his enthusiasm, everything is affected. Therefore, the Upanishad is so beautifully so logically pointing out to us, if somehow we can worship this prana, both first Annamaya Brahma, then Pranamaya Brahma, then only we can enter. Worshipping means using the instruments in the most appropriate manner. How do we know? Because that is, or that can be measured by progress in spiritual life. Progress in spiritual life can be measured only in three ways. Are we becoming better people, holier people, purer people? Are we adhering to truthfulness, sat, sat sangha, satya sangha? Are we seeking the truth? Second, our power of discrimination called chit. First is sat aspect of Brahman. Second is chit aspect of Brahman. The more we progress, the more things become clear. What is good? What is not good? What should be done? What should be avoided? That understanding becomes almost intuitive, instantaneous. That is the power. That is how we know we are progressing towards God. And the knowledge that we gain through this discrimination is God alone is our mother, our father, our friend, our wealth, everything. Everything else goes away. Everything else deserts us. And at the required time. But these parents, Jagataha Pitaro, they are never going to abandon us. So that is called right discrimination, and that is called Viveka Jnanam, and we progress in this Viveka Jnanam. More conviction, more mental strength will come. That is how we are progressing in Chit. And our Ananda, we don't get happiness in trivial things. We get happiness only in eternal things, in God. So that is how we know that we were not so happy before, then we are happy. The nearer we approach God, the more happy we become. Then we enter into the Manomaya Kosha. And then, as I said, mind is nothing but a container which has all these thoughts. It is also the container. It is also the contained. When there are no thoughts, there would be no mind. When there is no mind, there will be no thoughts. So this mind is everything. And that is what distinguishes. This is my father. This is my mother. This is my wife. This is my husband. This is my sister. That vritti jnana, viveka jnana will be there all the time. And it will grow as we progress. Progress also in viveka jnana start growing up. So we have to cherish positive thoughts which help us to grow, become purer, become more discriminative and feel more happiness for longer periods of time. And for that purpose we need a lifestyle, to lead a particular lifestyle. And that lifestyle is indicated through the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means what? It also tells us the known knowledge, knowledge known to us through our body and mind. It also tells us that which is not available to the five sense organs, such as God exists, other worlds exist, other life exists. So what we have to understand, that this knowledge about, or which is beyond the five sense organs, beyond the mind, is available only through the scriptures, through the Vedas. There is no other way. That is why all the Vedas are mentioned in this Manomaya Kosha, which we discussed very deeply. So imagine the Manomaya Kosha in the form of a human being or a bird, human being, because the word paksha is used. Paksha means a wing. So tasya yajurveva siraha. Yajurveda is the head. Rig dakshana pakshaha. Rigveda is the right hand or right wing. Sama, that is Sama Veda, is the left-sided wing. Adesha, following the instructions of the scriptures without deviating from them, even a little bit. and that is why it is called Adesha. Adesha means commandments. You do this, and if you do that, then we progress in life. When we are traveling by roads, and suddenly there is a lights are there, street lights, then we come to that place, there will be a red light, a green light, traffic lights. So red light means stop, don't go forward. And green light means you must go forward. Otherwise from behind somebody will push us. So there is no choice. If we go to a doctor, he gives adesha. He doesn't beg us. If you want to get well, these are the medications, these are the diets. We have to do that. This is adesha. Life is full of adesha. And that is what we had discussed in the Taittiriya Upanishad, first chapter called Sikshavalli, 11th section, Esha Adeshaha, Esha Upadeshaha, Esha Vedopanishad. If you want to be happy physically, mentally, in every way, then we have to follow, you have to follow the commandments of the scriptures. That is what is being said here, that this Rigveda, it is called the right way, and the Samaveda is the left way. Adesha, here Adesha means what? The instructions that we derive from these three Vedas, Yajurveda, Rigveda and Samaveda, that is the Atma, the very soul, the very support, without which Manomaya Kosha just collapses. If our back breaks, if backbone breaks, any problem arises in our backbone, then even to stand up, even to walk, even to move would be almost impossible. I would say impossible. Like that, Adesha means instructions and commandments. Commandments means, oh, I am requesting you to do. No, I am commanding you to do and for your own good. And if we do that, our present life will be pleasant. Our future life will be very pleasant, and ultimately we will progress and reach God, become one with God. That is what is meant. Adesha means Vedanta should be practical, not merely theoretical. This is also some books you get, Imitation of Christ, Imitation of Buddha. So the imitation means there are two words, Anusarana and Anukarana. So, Anukarana means just imitate physically, externally, without doing anything. But that's not what we want. We dress like Christ, we dress like Buddha. That is not going to help us. Anusarana is necessary. That is, I must follow. What did Buddha do when this situation arose? What did he do when the other situation arose? What did Sri Ramakrishna do? What did Holy Mother do? That's how we have to think about it. So, this is not only an instruction, but a commandment. The police instruct, when if you are driving a car, that when the red, green lights come, you have to stop. When the red lights come, then you will have to stop. When the green lights come, you will have to start. You cannot sit there. That is what is very important for us to understand. This is what Swami Vivekananda called practical Vedanta. Put the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna or Swamiji or Holy Mother or Buddha or Christ into day-to-day practice. Now, the fourth Veda, which actually had been added by our rishis much later on. Earlier, there were only three Vedas. Rig Veda, Yajur Veda and Sama Veda. But later on, there was a rishi called Atharvana, and he had discovered marvelous mantras and remedies so that the body and mind can be kept very healthy. And why go on praying to God when there is a remedy available readily? It is, we should not trouble God. Only when everything fails, then only we should call upon God. So this is what we have to learn. That's why it is said, Atha Atharva Angirasaha Puchyam Pratishtha. Puchya means like the legs, like the tail of a bird. Without legs, you want to escape danger, you want to run, you can't run. You want to reach a destination, you can't reach a destination. By the way, we all know we have marvelous, what is called, gadgets in the discovered by science. What is a telescope? Extension of the eyes. What is an aeroplane? Extension of our leg. What is a telephone? Extension of our ear. Everything is extension. So even if there is what is called a telephone and there is a person who is deaf, he cannot take any advantage of it. Similarly, if a person is blind, he cannot see what is happening, even if something is being broadcast from the other side of the world. And if a person does have no qualification, there is no use traveling. What is the purpose of traveling? If you don't have any purpose, you might as well stay at home and take rest. There must be, I want to go and visit Lord Vishwanath. I want to hear this musical concert, etc. There must be some noble purpose must be there. And that purpose should never be an inferior purpose. So, the body, and nowadays as you know, many people suffer mental angularities. That is, some people are mad, so that mental depression, worries, etc. Mental illness has become too much because physically we are getting many things. And so, we are not spending much time on physical work excepting certain sectors of agricultural workers like that. Most of the people, even the assemblies, assembling a car, a machine, etc. Now, people are inventing robots. So they can do that. The point here is that if a person is not healthy, he cannot enjoy life. That is what is meant. So now, thinking of this, the Atharvana Veda, it has discovered lots and lots of methods how to keep the body healthy, how to keep the mind also healthy, some with mantras and some remedies. Physically, this particular plant, the juice of this particular plant can relieve one from, for example, the pain of the bite of a scorpion or save a person from a snake bite, etc. These are all available in this Atharvana Veda. There are so many mantras and those mantras are meant for keeping our own body and mind in the pink condition, they say, in the optimal condition, they say, so that we can use it for a higher purpose. That is why this Manomaya Kosha, Angi Tatha Atha Atharva Angirasa, Atharvana or Angirasa, some say they are two separate rishis, some say it is the name of one and only one rishi, and mostly he discovered it or he invented them, and that is why it is called Pucham. Like legs, they can help us a great lot, and that is what we have to understand. So the mind, the body must be healthy and pure, full of energy. The Pranamaya Kosha must be full of enthusiasm for progressing towards God. The mind should be pure, expanded and concentrated and deep desire for higher truths. All these are included in this Manomaya Kosha. And Vedas give us every type of knowledge, both secular as well as spiritual, whereby we can definitely progress in spiritual life. That is the essence of this Manomaya Kosha which we discussed. And now we enter into the next kosha. And here again, I will have to remind you, unless we worship the mind as Brahman, Mano Brahmeti, Mano as Bhrigu, understood later on, that is the practical example given in this very Taittiriya Upanishad. So when a person says, this is not my mind, this is a mind given to me by God for a particular purpose, I understand. What is that purpose? I have to think of God, I have to progress towards God. And that is very important for us to understand. If we can do all the directions of the Vedas follow the directions of the Vedas. Do this and don't do that. Mind becomes first of all pure, secondly it becomes concentrated, thirdly it expands its understanding and identification, and slowly this individual mind, which is compared to Brahman, that is to say it is not your mind, it is not anybody's mind, it is God only, should be established there. Once we have that firm understanding that my mind is a gift from God, my prana is a gift from God, my body is a gift from God, similarly my buddhi, which we are going to enter, is a gift from God. If we can understand, that is called Brahma Upasana. Mano Brahma Upasana. Anna Brahma Upasana. Prana Brahma Upasana. Mano Brahma Upasana. And we presume this disciple to whom this instruction was being given, our disciples, they have followed exactly as the Guru commanded them, and then they understood. What happens as a result of that? He becomes a Manasaspatim. We have seen earlier in the Sikshavalli, he attains Swarajyam. That means his powers become so expanded that nothing will be out of reach for him. He can understand anything and he can also use that thing in the proper manner, dharmic way. And that is what we have seen in the earlier. So if a person does this, then suddenly his vision opens up. Oh, interior to it, and far subtler than that, and far pervading than that, than this Manomaya Kosha, is another Kosha, that is called Vijnanamaya Kosha. So, we are looking such a logical way of stepping. First, you put one foot on the first step, then lift up the second foot, put it on the first step, then lift up one foot, put it on the second step. That is how we reach the roof. Without identifying with the lower koshas, we can never reach the higher kosha. Very important to understand. Identification means they are all sacred. Body is sacred, prana is sacred, mind is sacred, intellect is sacred, ananda is also sacred. All these belong to God. So the mantra concludes that with regard to this, and Rig Mantra is quoted, and that Rig Mantra we have already seen, beginning with Annamaya Kosha, indicating Pranamaya. We have seen in the Pranamaya, indicating the Manomaya. We are seeing in Manomaya, indicating the Vijnanamaya Kosha also. So this is how we progress. So that is how the Upanishad continues the same process through the Manomaya to Vijnanamaya to Anandamaya Koshas. And ultimately revealing Brahman alone as the only support. Everything is Brahman as the Adhisthana, as the only support. All the koshas, including Anandamaya, is also a kosha. Now, we enter with this background into the Vijnanamaya Kosha. So, in this fourth Anuvaka, which is called Vijnanamaya Kosha, this Taittiriya Upanishad continues the Pancha Kosha Viveka. And this is how the mantra goes. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha anandam brahmano vidvan na bibheti kadachaneti tasyesha eva sharira atma yah purvasya tasmadva etasmat manomayat anyo antara atma vijnanamayah tena esha purnaha sava esha purusha vidhayeva tasya purusha vidhatam Anvayam purushavidaha, tasya shraddhaiva siraha, ritam dakshinah pakshaha, satyam uttarah pakshaha, yoga atma, mahah puchyam pratishtha, tadapyesha shlokovaudhi. This fourth Anuvaka also ends with, there is another big mantra to support what we have been talking about, this Vijnanamaya Kosha, like Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, etc. This will continue until Anandamaya Kosha only. But Anandamaya Kosha, it doesn't say there is something interior to it. But we have to understand even Kosha, the very usage of the word Kosha means it is a covering, it is a limitation. Anything that is covered or limited cannot be Brahman. Brahman is, Brahman can cover everything. Nothing can cover, nothing can limit Brahman. That is the idea. So here also, there are certain repetitions are there. So what is it? Tasyesha eva sharira atma. Just like as we compared annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, as a human being or as a bird, so bodily comparison. This is the head, these are the right and left hands, this is the backbone, and these are the legs, etc. Yah purvasya, borrowing from the earlier. Therefore, tasmadva yatasmat manomayat. So, once a person understands, first he understands, I am manomaya kosha. The moment he understands, the other two koshas. What are the other two koshas? Pranamaya and annamaya. They become koshas only then. Please keep in mind, when a person is identified with anna in this body, it is not a kosha, it is Brahma only. It is the reality only. It is the truth only. But as soon as he gives it up, like a person discards an outermost dress, then pranamaya becomes the Brahma. Then only annamaya becomes a dress. Kosha means that which is not Brahman, not reality, not the truth. Similarly, when a person, through worship, as soon as he enters into manomaya kosha, then that manomaya kosha becomes Brahma, and pranamaya and annamaya become non-reality. Only then. But when a person ascends still further, identifies with this vijnanamaya kosha, then only manomaya kosha also becomes irrelevant. This is the process we have to understand. Therefore, there is no way intellectually we can identify. Now, I contemplate on pranamaya, so annamaya becomes a kosha. Now, I contemplate on manomaya, then pranamaya becomes a kosha. No, it must be some definite experience in spiritual life. That is what we need to understand. Okay, so with this, what is this vijnanamaya kosha? A fourth kosha consisting of, so for the sake of contemplation, even this vijnanamaya kosha is to be imagined like a human being. These are the common sentences we get. Tasya esha eva sharira atma, yah purvasya, like before. So tasmadva etasmat manomayat. Therefore, apart from this manomaya, there is another. And it is interior, antaraha atma. And its name is vijnanamayaha. And this vijnanamaya now becomes Brahman. And it pervades the manomaya. Manomaya pervades the pranamaya. Pranamaya pervades the annamaya. So, vijnanamaya becomes the atma. Tena esha purnaha. The manomaya becomes filled with this vijnanamaya. Sava esha purusha vidha eva. And we have to imagine the same like human being as we did in the annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya. Eva tasya purusha vidatam. In the same way, we have to imagine. And how do we imagine? What are the five limbs? Tasya shraddha eva siraha. What is the head? Shraddha. Ritam dakshinaha pakshaha. Ritam. These are very highly meaningful technical words. So we will come to that. The right hand, right wing is ritam. Satyam uttaraha pakshaha. So the left wing is what is called left wing. Satyam, that is truth. Yoga atma. And yoga, practically implementing what we understand intellectually in our day-to-day life, which is called practical Vedanta, that yoga, that process of transforming ourselves, that process of approaching Brahman nearer and nearer, and finally become one, that is called yoga. That is why, whether a person is traveling in the path of bhakti, bhakti yoga, karma yoga, raja yoga, and jnana yoga, that word yoga, that which brings us nearer to Brahman, and finally destroys the that which separates, that separating factor. And once that separating factor is completely destroyed, what remains is neither Jivatma nor Paramatma. There is no two Atmas, one without second. That is being indicated, Yoga Atma. And then, whatever we do, without Divine Mother's grace, without the grace of Brahman, without the grace of Ishvara, we will not succeed in anything. Sri Ramakrishna used to emphasize this so much. Swami Vivekananda composed the second hymn that we sing at Vesper service. What is that second hymn? Om Hrim Ritam Tvamachalo Kunajit Kunedhya Natandivam Sakaranam Tavapada Padmam Moham Kasham Bahukritam Na Bhaje Yatoham Tasmat Tvameva Sharanam Mama Dina Bandho. This refrain, Tasmat Vameva Sharanam Mama Dina Bandho, four times it occurs. What does it mean? Without God's grace, it is impossible to progress in any field of life, be it secular, samsaric, worldly. People think, if I do hard work, if I do it intelligently, I will reap the benefits. No, sir. It is only God's grace who is giving you that intelligence, who is giving you that energy, endowing you with that energy, who is giving you that instrument called body and mind and intellect, etc. It is, he is only manifesting. And if he doesn't manifest, it's not going to work out. So this is being told here, the grace of God. Whose grace? Brahman's kripa. And here that Brahman is called Mahaha. Mahaha means Hiranyagarbha. As we mentioned earlier, Hiranyagarbha represents the second body, Sukshma Sarira. And the Sukshma Sarira, in another model called Panchakosha model, is named as Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya. Collectively, these three things correspond to Sukshma Sarira. And when the collective Pranamaya is called Sutratma, collective Manomaya is called Hiranyagarbha, collective Vijnanamaya, that is called Mahat. So that Mahaha Pucham, this Hiranyagarbha in the form of Mahat, forms the very legs, that which supports the entire body, and that which makes it possible for us to go where we want to go, or to either to move towards something, or to run away from something. Legs are very, very important. That is what is being said here. Now briefly we will discuss it. Tasya, that means this Vijnanamaya Kosha. That is very important for us, Vijnanamaya Kosha. What is this Vijnana? What is Manomaya Kosha? When there are plenty of thoughts, shall I do this? Shall I not do this? Shall I do the other thing? Unable to come to a decisive or decision. Just supplying the pros and cons. That is the nature of Manomaya. Therefore, it won't lead to either action or reaction. It merely presents the mind, Manomaya Kosha, merely presents this information to its master, a higher or a superior intellect, who will decide out of all these available options, which option should be the most desirable option. And for that is called taking a firm decision. I want only this. No wavering about, no regretting about it. I have taken a decision that is final. This is that decision. And buddhi or vijnanamaya kosha, that is its function. So for that purpose, it is said, what is the head of this vijnanamaya kosha? Siraha, that is the head. Head because if the head is okay, brain is okay, everything will be okay. If the decision, the intelligence to decide which is right, which is not right, and such people become the only successful people in the whole world in any field of life. As we say in our language, if a donkey wants to become a musician, it is not possible for it. Does every human being qualify himself or herself to become a musician? No. Can every human being become a good cook at least? No. Can everybody become a good driver? How many incidents we are getting every day? Unable to take a decision, some car crashes or some poor fellow who is traveling by a motorcycle or a cycle or even on the footpath and instantaneous death. These are the irresponsible people whose minds are distracted, worthless people. Not only they do so much harm, so they may be all right. Sometimes they can also die. They may be all right. But how much misery they are creating to the other people. So, a right decision at the right time, without any hesitation, that faculty belongs to this Vijnanamaya Kosha. So, Shraddha is necessary. Very psychological word. Shraddha means what? What the Vedas are talking is absolutely right. That is at the very highest spiritual level. But what is meant here, Shraddha, that means I have taken the right decision. I have considered all the pros and cons. It is not going to do any harm to other people or least harm. And this is the best decision which will be for the good of many people. That is called Shraddha. But especially here, Shraddha indicates that I have been following the footsteps of my parents, my grandparents. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, I decided at one point of time in my life, I will lead a life exactly like my father had led. Absolutely orthodox, absolutely strict, absolutely not deviating from the path of truth, even a little bit. And that is called Shraddha. Therefore, in the Katha Upanishad, we get Shraddha Avivesha. Nachiketa was possessed. When a person is possessed, there is no choice for that person. So we must have intense faith. But the question that comes is, how does Shraddha arise at all? You see, somebody, just imagine, a small example. Somebody, your well-wisher, my well-wisher, some well-wisher tells, you go here and you meet this person or you buy this and you, that will do you good. And we follow. And we find, through experience, really it had done us good. Then our faith in that person's instruction become firm. With each passing experience, experiment, our faith becomes deeper, stronger, unshakable. So that is how you follow the Vedas. You chant, for example, what is called Sri Sukta. You will become rich. You chant Kanakadhara Stavam. Mother will bestow her grace. But sometimes because of our karma phala, the karma phala may come late, but we should never doubt. So many of the rituals, they fructify inevitably in this very life, like Dasharatha did, Putra Kameshti, etc. And as a result, our faith, I am getting the direct benefit and the witness of I did this, I am getting this result. That is how slowly if I perform what should be done and avoid what should not be done, Idhi and Nishetha, my life is slowly has taken a better turn. I am going to progress in spiritual life through experience. My experience confirms that my faith in the Vedas, in the scriptures, and consequently in God becomes firm and firmer. So that is why without Shraddha, if I don't believe in the decision I have taken, I will only do half-hearted job. That is why complete faith, this is a good decision and it is the only decision, and such a person has belief in that and he will definitely try to do his level best. That's why Shraddha is called the head. And then Shraddha in what? Shraddha in the teachings, in the instructions of the Vedas. Ritam, as we have seen earlier, is that which is taught by to us by the Vedas. Ritam means that is absolute truth, absolutely the very best. That complete faith in the teachings of the Vedas is called Ritam. Ritam means knowledge. Vedic knowledge is absolutely true. That firm faith, that is called Ritam. That's why it is called the right hand. Then merely knowing that medicine will do. Sri Ramakrishna used to illustrate this beautifully. You know what he said? There is a kind of, mixture of certain herbs, etc. It is called Siddhi. When a person eats that Siddhi, and then he will enter into an ecstatic state, intoxicated state, like liquor, etc. So Sri Ramakrishna used to say, he has given many examples. Two examples I will give you here. One example is simply saying, closing the eyes and saying, Siddhi, 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 I am getting intoxicated, is not going to work out because something has to be done. But the person, he brings the ingredients, he prepares that medicine, and then he pray with a prayer to God, he swallows it and he waits for the effect. And the effect will follow. Similarly, somebody came to know there is a hidden treasure. So he goes there and he goes on, starts digging at the exact place, and suddenly there is a metal, touching metal, huge sound, and his heart leaps in great joy. And then he understands that it is true, that there is something here. And very soon after digging, he comes across a box. And that is a proof. He doesn't know what is inside, but his heart is beating faster. Then it is locked. So somehow he forces the lock, breaks it, or he has a key, whatever it is, he opens. Only when the box is open, all the treasure that is there will be visible, and his joy knows no bound. This is beautifully applied to the next kosha, Anandamaya kosha, Priya and Pramoda and Ananda. Hearing about something which is wonderful brings joy, that is called Priyam. Whatever brings joy, that is Priyam. We love only what brings joy. But when we obtain it, handle it, and really we see it, experience it, that is called Pramoda. And when we actually start using it and getting the result, that is called Ananda. Beautiful explanation, we will come to that. But what is meant here is, Ritam means this Vedic knowledge is absolutely true, that firm faith. But one must follow the instructions like a scientist's laboratory experiment. And that experimenting, putting into practice what we know to be true, that is called Satyam. Usually, nowadays Satyam means truth seeking, truthfulness, practicing of truthfulness. That's what we think. But here the Upanishad is telling, Satyam means practicing Vedanta in our day-to-day life from the time of getting up until we go to sleep. That is called Satyam. And Yoga means what? Put this Satyam through proper channel. There is a way of following any instruction. This is first, this is second, this is last. For that, we have to have an appropriate place, appropriate circumstances. And that is called Yoga. This word Yoga. That is why Yoga is called Atma. Atma means what? The very heart of the matter is called Yoga. That is Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, it doesn't matter. But putting into practice with the way it is supposed to be put into practice. And this is very important for us, because already, sir, you told about Satyam means practicing. What is the difference between Satyam and Yogam? Yes, the resolve to put into practice is called Satyam. But it has to be done scientifically, step by step. Simple example. One devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, he joined the Brahmo Samaj. Sri Ramakrishna's eyes fell upon him. Immediately he understood. He said, what are you doing here? This is not your path. You are doing everything, but you are not following the right steps. You have to follow Bhakti Marga, not this Brahmo's Nirakara path. And the person understood by the grace of Sri Ramakrishna, and immediately gave up Brahmo Samaj and became one of the greatest spiritual personalities of those time. He himself became a teacher, initiating many people. So that is called Yoga Atma. And then, what is the tail or legs? Mahaha Pucham Pratishtha. Mahaha means Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha means the grace of God. That is most important. But what is it? Unfurl your sail. The breeze is blowing. The grace of God is always there. But we have to unfurl the sail. So grace of God is not waiting for us. It is all the time, unstoppably, it is blowing. Only when we unfurl our sails, put them right, start traveling, then only the breeze will come, will push the boat forward in the right direction. So without God's grace, it is impossible. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivam cha eva atra panchamam. So the last ingredient to successfully complete any enterprise is the grace of God. And that grace of God is called Hiranmaya's grace. That's all. Hiranmaya means Ishvara only, Ishvara's grace, Bhagavan's grace, God's grace. And with regard to this, now the Rishi wants to take us to the next level, Anandamaya Kosha. So he quotes one Rig Mantra, Tadapyesha Shloko Bhavati. With regard to this explanation, there is another mantra. Here shloka means mantra. Whatever comes in the Upanishads, we should understand. Not as shloka, but as mantra. Because mananat, Trayate. Whatever comes in non-Upanishads, non-Vedas, that is called Shloka. So, this fourth kosha, Vijnanamaya kosha, we must have Shraddha and we must know what is reality, what is the truth, put it into practice and put it into what is called practical way, guided by yoga. And then, the grace of God, which is already there, will be aiding us, helping us, only then. And then, I want to take you now to the next kosha. So, we have more or less completed the fourth, that is Vijnanamaya kosha. We will just recollect in our next class and proceed to the next kosha. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayoho Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.